The Dental Download Podcast is your source for insight into dental school, conversations with dentists, specialists, and leaders in the industry. With new episodes every Monday morning, I'm your host, Haley Schultz. Let's get into this week's episode.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Okay. Hi, everyone. We have another guest here today, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Let us know who you are, where you go to school right now.
Hey, everyone. My name is Deajane Oliver. I am a fourth year dental student at Howard University College of Dentistry in Washington, D.C. I am originally from Los Angeles, California. I went to San Diego State for my undergrad, and I got my Bachelor of Science in Microbiology. And I look forward to being a dentist in a couple of months, and I hope I offer some sound advice to you all, whoever's listening.
Awesome. I'm excited to kind of walk through your journey of getting into dental school and getting through it, because you're so close to being done, and maybe talk a little bit about what your plans are for after graduation. But I guess we can start from the beginning, like, of your individual journey. When did you know you wanted to do dentistry? Were there any obstacles or challenges that you faced along the process of getting into dental school?
So I kind of knew I wanted to be a dentist really young. I didn't know it was going to be dentistry definitively until I was like in high school. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. So I kind of like as a young kid, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. And I, as a young kid, you don't know what doctors or dentists do. You just know that they're doctors. So I think in high school, I kind of like really looked into what doctors actually do. And I'm like, I don't think that's for me. And I don't like hospitals either. So I don't know what I was thinking. My mom, ironically, does work in dentistry. She works in a dental office. So I kind of had like that exposure, you know, throughout my entire life. So I was like, okay, well, you know what dentists do. You see what your mom does. Why don't you explore dentistry? So I kind of knew definitely by 11th grade, I wanted to be a dentist. And I applied to schools that I knew would be cheaper in tuition. Because I remember being a patient in a dental office and the dentist was saying, no matter where you go to dental school, no matter where you go for undergrad, you also get into dental school, but just make sure you wherever you go for undergrad is cheap. So I made sure I applied to mostly state schools because I knew I was going to go to be a dentist and I needed my school to be cheap. So I went to San Diego State. It was very cheap. Like, what was the tuition? At the time, like my freshman year, it was like $5,000 for both semesters, just tuition. So I'm like, it's a score. Like, it's a no-brainer. And then when I was an undergrad, I definitely tailored everything to being a pre-dental student. Like, I was in the pre-dental club. I did a bunch of pre-dental volunteering. I was in all the classes, you know, the basic chem and all that stuff. So, you know, I was a biochem major, but then I changed my major to biology and then ultimately changed my major to microbiology senior year because I had more micro credits. So it just made sense to get the micro degree instead of the general biology degree. So while I was an undergrad, to make sure, you know, I stood out to be like an all around applicant. I was, you know, I volunteer a lot. I was vice president of the pre-dental club, secretary as well. There's this thing, and I went to San Diego State. So UC San Diego, which is another university in San Diego, they have a pre-dental society where they actually have their own clinic. So they have a really massive pre-dental society, like at least 100 to 50 to 200 pre-dental students. And with that, you know, they have a pre-dental society. They have like 5 clinics in the San Diego area, and they usually have it Monday through Friday. Different sites have different dates and stuff like that, where they have everything's volunteer, everything's free. So everything's donated. All the students, you know, volunteer their time on the weekday or weeknights. The dentists are volunteer. They don't get paid anything as well. And they had a free clinic. So that's how I got really hand-on experience, you know, dental assisting and doing x-rays at the Pre-Dental Society through UC San Diego. And I really confirmed that I wanted to do it. In addition to, you know, the volunteer dentists and the students, they also had like dental students from the SoCal area or from Arizona, like AT Steel. They would be on externships at the Pre-Dental Society clinics. So that was an awesome thing. And I think that really helped my application because we were volunteering our time and we still learned how to be dental assistants at the time. And it's really known too. Like my dean knew of it. And when I was interviewing for dental school, the interviewer knew exactly what it was. So I think that helped a lot. And I used that experience actually to get my first dental assisting job in California. So in California, you don't have to be a licensed dental assistant. So I used that experience and I got my first dental assisting job during my two gap years after I graduated. So I think that really helped me get into dental school as being a dental assistant during my gap years. So if you are out there and you have the opportunity to volunteer, you know, for free in a dental clinic, please take it. Because it's one thing to shadow, but it's another thing to be actually working with the instruments and the materials to see what the dentists are doing, to see if you actually want to do that. And working with the humans, you know, to see if you're able to manage the behavior as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's awesome. And even I over here in Michigan have heard of that clinic too, the free clinic that you did stuff at in undergrad. So I think exactly like you said, it's very well known. It's so impressive that undergrads like started it all up and now it's this thing that even people in other states are like sending their dental students to rotate through.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, because I remember vividly, I remember being volunteering one day because I used to volunteer at the Lemon Grove Clinic. That's just one of the clinics that they had. It was every Tuesday and Thursday from like 7 a.m. to like 1 p.m. And I remember one of the students who was on externship, she was doing crown preps on the at the externship. I'm like, okay, that's awesome because, you know, it's you go out on a site, you get a lot of experience and you can work with different dentists and other people to get like a different, you know, different exposure than what you have at your own dental school. So it was awesome. It was a very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Rewarding experience. I'm glad I did it. And that's so funny you heard of that. I can't believe like people really know for real.
I know. And yeah, it was, when you brought it up, I knew exactly what you were talking about. And you mentioned your gap years. And it sounds like you were pretty like on track as a pre-dent, if you would say. It's like you knew what you were doing. You were ready to go to dental school. So what was the reasoning for you for doing a gap year?
So I don't want to say I'm traditional, like a traditional applicant, because I took 5 years to graduate from undergrad. So I took like the, you know, how they say like take 18 credits, like your first year or whatever. That actually beat me up. So I took less credit. I took like 12 to 14 credits every semester because it was just too much for me to handle. I'm a first generation college student. So I really had no true exposure what college was like. It was my first time moving out of my house. I was like a 2-hour drive away from my mom. So, and I also had a job in undergrad. So in addition to being pre-dent and volunteering, so it was like, okay, I had to give up something somewhere. And I took less classes. So I made sure I graduated and I took 5 years instead of four. So honestly, why I took two gap years instead of one, I think I just got cold feet. Like I graduated in May. I'm like, okay, I'll take the DAT at the end of the summer. And the summer came, I had no study materials. I had no date in mind. I was just living free because I'm just enjoying my summer and, you know, being free from undergrad. So I think what happened, what would happen next? Did I take the DAT that year? No, actually. So I scheduled the DAT for the December after I graduated. And then I got cold feet again. And then I rescheduled it for January of the next year. So I took it in that January. I hope this is kind of a spoiler for any pre-dents listening if you haven't taken the DAT yet. So when you finish taking the DAT, the score pops up immediately. None of my friends prepped me for that. So mind you, I'm in this pre-dental club. We have all these pre-dental friends. No one told me that the score pops up as soon as you click in. So the end pops up. I'm like, there's no way this is my score. I was not happy with my score. So I knew automatically I was going to take the test again. So I retook the test. When did I retake the? So that was January. I retook the test. Something had happened. So a family member of mine passed away. Because I was going to take it by to apply that cycle, but someone passed away in my family. So I took it all the way in October, but I still applied the next cycle. And so I, in the midst of me taking the DAT and obviously turning applications, I got an offer from Tufts, for an interview from Tufts. And this is like one of the special circumstances that Tufts has. So Tufts has an opportunity where they will guarantee you a spot if you interview with them and then you commit to getting a master's degree in biomedical sciences at one of their approved places. So that was the first thing I heard from any school. So I said, okay, like, you know, no school. I mean, one school's better than no school. And if I need to do a master's, I'll do a master's. So this was October, right? So February comes, I interview at Tufts. They told me everything about that. I got into my master's program. I found a roommate in Mississippi. I was going to go to Mississippi College because it's really cheap. And it's a really good program. And I found a roommate. And I think I just found someone from Howard on Instagram. I was like, hey, like, you know, I'm really interested in Howard. Like, it's my one number one school. You know, I got into Tufts. This is stipulations, but I would really love to, you know, if there's any possibility someone could look at my name and my application from Howard, that would be awesome. This woman has never met me, mind you. I just knew her on Instagram. And 3 weeks later, I got an email like, oh, we're going to get an interview at Howard. So I DM'd her back on Instagram. I was like, I got an interview. And she was like, yeah, I know. I told them about you. I'm like, no freaking way. Like, you told them about me for real? And she was like, yeah. So I'm giggling because it's so surreal. I interviewed at Howard in 2018. In 2019, because I applied in October 2018. I interviewed April 2019. I got in like a week after, like the day of the Tufts deposit was due on it. So I got in the same day the Tufts deposit was due. And I got conditional acceptance to Howard, like kind of how I had with Tufts. But with Howard, I had to do a summer program before I got like my official acceptance. So I had to move to DC for 6 weeks, take this in-person 6-week course to prove that I'm, you know, able to handle the course load. I did fine. I passed and I got my acceptance. And then I matriculated into school into August 2019. And fast forward, now I'm a D4. And yeah.
Wow. That's so, see, that just proves like not to give up on what you really want. Like you sent this message on a whim and look, it worked out.
And honestly, it was risky. Like I have so many pre-dents who like DM me like, oh, should I take a master's? I'm like, you know, you never know what could happen. Like just take a risk. Cause I, even at the time, like you, when you look at the price of applying to dental school, like it's expensive, but it's still cheaper than getting a master's degree. So I was like, okay, just do what you have to do to spend that money at that one time to take that risk on yourself and see what happens. You know, the worst that can happen is, no, you have to get a master's, but you know, you won't know until you try. And that's really the only moments I really believe in that cliche saying, because it happened to me. And I just went on a whim and saying, you know what? The worst I can say is no, just try it. And it happened for me. And I'm very grateful that she was able to do that for me. And now I'm here. And that's why I always make sure to give advice on Instagram when people reach out to me, because someone randomly did that for me. She had no idea who it was. I had no idea who she was. So it really worked out. And I'm still like, I still thank her to this day. I'm like, oh my God, you changed my life. You know? So I make it a mission of mine to help all pre-dents, you know, to make sure that they can get to where they want to be.
That's awesome. It's paying it forward, I guess, for
exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So you were saying that you reached out to her because Howard was your dream school. So what were some of the things that you loved about Howard, and what other things have you learned now that you've gone there that you like about the program?
Okay. So I was going to like throw out a couple of terms to give like the listeners some like background. So an HBCU is a historically Black college, and on the contrary, we call them PWIs, which is predominantly white institutions. So San Diego State is what we consider a PWI, predominantly white institution. Where I went, the Black population for students was like 3.4% out of like 30,000. I went to a massive university. It was like 30,000 students. So I knew once graduated, I wanted to at least experience, have an HBCU experience before, you know, I'm done with school forever. So I'm like, okay, you know, and also move outside of California. I knew I wanted to live outside of California at least once because I've lived in California all my life and also have an HBCU experience. So Howard was the perfect place for that. In addition to that, my mentor, my dental mentor, she went to Howard back in the day. So I'm like, okay, this will be really good. She went there. She had a great experience. She, you know, thinks I should go there. So I applied. I don't know anyone because I don't know anyone who went to Howard. And honestly, like from being from the West Coast and trying to apply to schools on the East Coast, getting information is also just hard to get to because it's so far away, which is why I think I was just like on Howard hashtags on Instagram. Like it wasn't accessible as it is today where you could just type in someone's name and Howard and it'll pop up. Like I was like in the trenches on Instagram, like through the hashtags and looking at the location to see who went there. I don't even know how I found her, but I found her. But yeah. So that's really why I wanted to go to dental school. And also, honestly, dental school is really hard. Like I wanted to go to a place where I know the faculty will look like me, my classmates will look like me, and it'll be like a culturally, you know, sound place for me to learn. And also I know in real life, when I'm a dentist, I want to service a population that looks like me as well. And in Washington, D.C. offers that. There's a very diverse population of patients in Washington, D.C. that needs, you know, care. And I know that this dental school would be able to provide that opportunity for me.
Are there anything that Howard's curriculum does that you really liked, like maybe your clinical experience or rotations or certain classes?
I think, so I honestly did not know much about anything because I just knew I just wanted to go to Howard. But I knew the class sizes were smaller because, you know, like I said earlier, I was going to go to Tufts. And when I interviewed at Tufts, the class sizes are so massive. I knew I didn't want a big class size because when I was an undergrad, I don't know where you went to undergrad, but at San Diego State, I had 500 seat lecture halls. And like in my, even like my biology classes, I still had like 150 of us in my bio classes, like my upperclassmen bio classes. So I know I wanted to go to a school where it would be smaller and more intimate. So I only have like 73 classmates versus if I would have went to Tufts, I would have 200 of them. And I can't even fathom that, like thinking like being in clinic right now, I have to be in clinic with not only 200 of my classmates, but 200 of the D3s and the residents. So everything just worked out, like looking back on it. So I think the class size too, and also they also offer practice management courses. So a lot of dental schools don't offer that, but Howard really looks to produce private practice dentists to where you know, are having your own business or being an associate in a private practice. So I think those really two really stuck out for me.
That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, you hear that from every dental student. Like, I wish I learned more about like business and like leadership and everything. So it's nice to see that you're pretty much done with your time there and you feel like you got a good handle on that.
Yeah. Like, even in clinic, like, cause we took the practice management classes beginning D2 year. And then we just built upon that in clinic because in clinic, we still have to know all their insurances. They make us know all the codes. They make us know how to, you know, treatment plan very well and make sure with insurance, which insurance, you know, how to make sure, you know, we get paid because when we have our own business, we have to depend on and not how to know how to work those systems to ensure that we're going to be collecting and not just producing. So that's a good thing that Howard has taught me is, you know, how to be a good business person too and how to hustle to make sure that when I'm out in the real world, I'm able to be good with my hands, good with the patients, and also billing so I can get paid.
I'm sure a lot of pre-dents that are moving across the country for dental school, like you were so excited to go to Howard. It was your dream program, but I'm sure it was still challenging to like leave your mom and move across the country. So do you have any advice looking back on that experience and the adjustment?
Yeah, but now I don't know. You just have to do it. Like I can say all these things, but you really know what's going to happen. You don't really know what's going to happen until you do it. I will say for sure. Thankfully I was a little older. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm like, you know, most D1s are like 22, 21. I was like 25, 26 when I moved to DC. So I was a little older than my classmates, a lot of my classmates. So I already had like the maturity aspect down pat. So I'm glad I'm a little older because I'm a more mature, more, you know, emotionally stable to handle things like that. But I'm not going to admit, I cried because I had to get that one-way plane ticket on Southwest with all my luggages and my mom dropped me off and I was like, oh no, this is it. And then, you know, I just moved out here by myself. Like my mom couldn't come at the time because of afford like costs and stuff like that. And, you know, even with like the roommate situation, like I found my roommate via Instagram as well. Thankfully this worked out because we're still best friends to this day. But honestly, just prepare, you know, to be sad. It's I mean, you could take it. You could be sad and be homesick. Or you can, you know, say, hey, this is the change I wanted. And then, you know, accept that and dwell and not dwell in it, but like have take the best of it. Cause I definitely was sad, especially D1 year, like first semester D1 year, you're taking that anatomy class where you, and you're, what's the stuff called? I haven't taken that, dissecting the bodies. And you have all these other heavy didactic courses along with learning these new foreign dental terms. So it's a lot to take in moving so far away. And the time difference, because you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you want to say, hey, mom, how's it going? But they're still sleeping. So you just have to prepare yourself mentally that it will be different. You will miss out on, you know, some fun things. You will miss out on family time, but it's only temporary. And when you graduate, you can go back to wherever you want to go. So like I tell my friends all the time, like the days are long, but the years are short. So the time will fly by and you'll be back home no time.
Yeah, that's very true. And exactly like focusing on the fact that this is what you wanted and you all have control of where you go after these 4 years too. So it's not a forever thing.
It's not a forever thing. And, you know, if you do residency, if you do have want a job, you can apply to places wherever you want to be and it will work out for you. So I definitely like the idea of moving to Purdue School for a different experience, you know, because you only have one life, you live the best of it. So I'm grateful I lived on the East Coast. I can say I lived on the East Coast, you know, or I moved out of California at least one point in my life instead of living and dying in California and not experiencing anything else. So I'm grateful for moving to DC for sure.
And you said you're doing a residency next year. Is that your plan?
Yes, girl. So my classmates know because I've been saying as soon as I got to dental school D1 year, I'm so homesick. I just want to go back to California. I miss my family. I miss the sunshine, blah, 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 blah. So when it was time to apply to residency last summer, I literally only applied in California. I didn't even attempt to apply, not even Arizona or Nevada or Washington, literally California. I applied to 6 LA programs and 1 San Francisco program. And ironically, I didn't interview at the San Francisco program. That was the first interview I got. I didn't even rank it because I knew for sure I wasn't moving to the Bay Area. So I'm like, okay, like, let's be realistic. If push comes to shove, do you want to live in the Bay Area? No. So don't rank it. So I'm doing a GPR. My program starts in July. I'm moving back. It's the program of my dreams. Like I did my little Googles and research and I found people on Instagram. How I found the girl, you know, before I started D1 year, I found a resident, a previous resident on Instagram and she liked her experience. She gave me the details and I matched and I'm happy. So I can't wait for that to start because I just know I'm going to get like a really good experience, you know, post-grad experience, especially because my director is a prosthodontist. So I'll get like a lot of good prost experience. And they also have an optional PGY2, which is a second, you know, postgraduate year. So if I want to stay one more year, I can apply for that.
That's awesome. You're going to be so skilled by the time you're out of there too. That's awesome.
I hope so. They do everything they do. Lots, they do molar endo, they do microscope endo, they do implants, they restore the implants, they do all on 4, all on X, they do, you know, they have full-time oral surgeons, so they do sinus lifting and, you know, surgical extractions and thermal extraction. They have perio as well, so if you want to do crown lengthening, you know, during the second half of your residency, you can do crown lengthening or pocket reduction surgery. So I'm really excited for this. This is like what I've been looking forward to this whole time I've been in clinic.
Yeah, just like getting more advanced and getting better at the things that are going to be exactly. Even more helpful for your patients one day, for sure. That's awesome. So a couple more things I want to ask you about. We were talking before this started, just like the transitions of like getting used to dental school. You kind of talked about that a little and like all the crazy course load and learning how to do pre-clinic. How was your transition from pre-clinic into clinic?
Oof. I feel like we were just like little fish at school. And we just got thrown into the sea and we had to swim with the sharks. And that's really not a good, in my opinion, that's not like the best method. It's like, you know, when you see videos of people throwing their infants in the pool and they just want the infants to float instantly. I'm not that parent. I want to have my kid in swimming lessons to prepare them to float first. And I wish that my school did that. I mean, we all managed, like we're all getting it now, but oh my goodness, it was like, it was such a transition because they say things, right? But you really don't know until you get in a human's mouth and you actually do it. Like plastic teeth is so not comparable to human teeth at all. And humans vary so much. And the added factor of their cheeks, the cheeks are slippery, the tongue, the fogging of the mirror when they breathe. And all the added factor of the PPE, like, you know, now it's post-COVID, we have to wear like our N95 and shields and with our loops, like it's just a lot of barriers to seeing the patients. I wish I was prepared more for that. And Axiom training, girl, like, oh my God, Axiom is just a pain. I wish I got more training for that. But like with everything in life, especially dental students or doctors, I should say, we figure it out. We use our critical thinking skills to get it, but I definitely wish my transition was smoother. Like I was struggling the first from like August to like November. I was like, okay, this is kind of difficult. But by December and second semester of D3, you know, I was into the swing of things and getting things rolling. And now I'm like just smooth sailing. So I'll give some advice for you. You're in your second, are you on the quarter semester system?
We're, I guess like trimesters, like we're three semesters per school year and I'm finishing up my D3 right now.
Okay. What I would say going into your third, like your, you know, your third semester of D3, honestly, just kind of school. Every day. I don't know if you guys have like attendance where like if they penalize you for not coming to school, just come to school every day. You never know what can happen that day. Like what kind of experience you'll get that day. Time management. You obviously have a great time management. You're an ASDA. I'm an ASDA. You have your own podcast. I cannot imagine doing something like this on top of being a dental student. So you obviously have a great time management. But for the dental students listening out there, like time management and having great organizational skills is really the key to make sure you're sane in clinic because you can really get lost in the sauce. And I love dentistry, but dentistry is not my life. You have to have a balance. So outside of clinic, because like, you can get consumed by it very quickly, especially D3s, because you're like, okay, I have these requirements for D3, or I have all these requirements for graduation. Like I want to get it done. But you can only you're only human and we're all new to this. Like you have to understand our faculty have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. And so just organization, patience, and balance is like really the key things I wish I would have had more of when I was a baby D3, like when I first got to clinic. Cause now I'm like, okay, it's manageable because I'm, you know, I know what I can handle as a dental student, like how many cases I can manage, how many patients I can manage. And I know like what I need to do to make sure that Diogenes is happy when I come home from school, if that makes sense.
No, that's really good advice. That's something I'm like recognizing and trying to deal with now is like, I take too much of the stresses home with me and like so much, like we have to show up, do our best exactly like you're saying, and we're learning and we need to be improving. But a lot of the problems that come up are like totally out of our control.
Exactly. But
you let it like consume you. And at least I do. So I'm like, I need to not, if I did my best, I did my best and we'll figure it out.
And honestly, that's just how you have to keep that. You have to keep the same attitude post-grad too, because I was texting one of my good friends from undergrad. He graduated in 2021. And I was telling him like when I'm, before I match, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of nervous to be a dentist because it's a lot. Like, you know, I think a lot of dentists suffers from, you know, perfectionism because you want to do your best every time. And honestly, we do our best every time, but you know, as long as you do your best, you did a good job. And sometimes when you don't feel like you performed your best, you take that home and you dwell on it. And it's like, you can't do that because you'll drive yourself insane. You'll burn yourself out very quickly. Like patients understand that you're human too, you know? And patients are still appreciative that you even were blessed enough to become a dentist to help them out. So I kind of like had to flip the switch and say, okay, Diogenes, like, you know, I did my best. Me and my faculty, we both did our best. And we explained that to the patient and they're still happy, you know, even though we know we can do better next time, but today I did my best and that's okay. Don't overextend myself to where I'm going home. I'm like, oh, dang, if I would have just had the patient sit their chin up a little bit higher, I could have, like, I used to be like that, even like early D4 year before I started applying to residency, and I was like that too. But now I'm like, okay, in that moment, like, obviously you couldn't think of it. So don't dwell on it too much because it's just going to consume you. And I don't know, do you follow Dental Nachos?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you in the Facebook group?
Yeah.
Okay. I love the Facebook group. I'm like a silent reader on the Facebook group.
I know.
I like stuff here and there, but I see so many like seasoned dentists and like wise dentists, and they say stuff like that. Like, you know, we're all human. We all do our best and patients still appreciate you. So don't dwell on it. And it's like, okay, if they're saying this and they've been doing this before I was born, it's obviously true. So that's just my attitude now.
Yeah. And as much as there's guidelines for how to do different things in dentistry, unfortunately, it's always changing because there's new methods, new technologies. So it's not like we're working to get to this point, then we never have to learn or get any better. Like, we're right. always going to have to be learning and improving. Even these dentists that have worked 20, 30, 40 years still make mistakes or still learn new things. And then we just kind of have to accept that's the industry that we're in, that it's lifelong learning that we talk about. So you have to be okay with that if you're going into dentistry and learn to cope with those things like you're talking about.
And I think the word for that is just adaptability. Like, you don't really recognize how adaptable you are until you become a dental student, because, and even a dentist, because like she said, everything changes every day. And it's so subjective. Like, what Haley may see on an x-ray, I may not see. Do we both want to see it? Absolutely. But our eyes and our brains are wired so differently that we have to be able to adapt to what this person may see and what I may not see and stuff like that. And I think that can really beat people down. And, you know, you beat yourself up because it's like, oh, dang, I didn't see that, but that person did. But that's okay. As long as we're learning and improving on a daily basis and we're doing the best for our patients, we're doing the best we can do.
And I feel like that was already a very encouraging last couple thing to talk about. But I like to give all my guests a chance to just leave like final advice, final thoughts for listeners. Is there any good advice you want to give?
I guess I would just say have balance. I said earlier, you know, I love dentistry, but I would not allow it to consume me to death. Like, I make sure I work out. I go to solid core every other day. I make sure on the weekends I, you know, do things I like to enjoy. I make sure I cook, you know, meals at home, you know, cheat when I want to. I have a hobby. I watch TV. I just started watching TV literally like mid D3 year. And I wish I would have started sooner. I would probably be more happy. I do skincare and make sure my skin's nice. I'm not, you know, looking stressed the next morning from not sleeping. So just, you know, having balance is really the key, you know, to the happiness of our dental school. Like, don't let it consume you. Because I remember being that D1 and D2, like, I want to be the best dental student I can be. And it's just like, yes, do your best, but don't be beat down if you're going to be in that class, or don't be beat down if you had to remediate that prep. Like, it happens. It's going to happen again and again and again. And like we just said, being adaptable, like, you have to learn how to adapt to your environment. And that's all I have.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. And it kind of rounds off everything we've talked about today. So I want to thank you again for your time. It was so nice meeting you and learning more about your journey and your experience and everything.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you. I'm sure you're going to kick butt in dental school after your D3 year. And I, you know, I believe in you, girl.
Thank you. I forgot to ask for people that want to look you up and ask you any questions or learn more about Howard. What's your Instagram? What should they reach out to?
So you can reach out to me, Buckle Up with D. It's BUCCAL with WITHD, and it's DI instead of DE. So Buckle Up with D. I'm not as active as I used to be when I was a baby dental student, but I still check it daily. So if you do message me or comment, I will definitely get back to you. So I'm always, I have another Instagram. I'm always active on it. So I'm always on my phone. So I know I'll see it eventually. So just hit me up on that platform and I'll get back to you.
Thank you for everything you're doing for the pre-dance. I know it's making a difference too.
Oh, thank you. You as well. This is so innovative. And I'm glad it happened. You have this, because when I was in pre-dent 2017, 2018, nothing like this was happening.
I know. Like
the Instagram, like the dental Instagrams were just becoming like a thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy. Like it's so widespread now. And like the pre-dents have all this access to information. It's not gatekept anymore.
Definitely. I know. I felt the same way. That's kind of why I started it. So,
Well, thank you again.
Yeah. Thank you so much.